The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hi, I'm Sharad Kutin, and on the Breakfast Grill with me this morning is Mohammad Noor Abdul Salam, CEO of UMLand J Biotech Park, otherwise known as Johor Halal Park, which will be the country's 25th halal park and the first halal park operating exclusively for 100% halal business. Malaysia is the leading halal manufacturing country of the world with an estimated $12 billion worth of halal exports. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yes, good morning, Sharad. Thank you for welcoming me to BFM.
In February 2015, you were given the mandate by UMLand to re-strategize the 350 acres of industrial land in Pasir Gudang that UMLand had. Why a halal park, considering there are so many halal parks in the country?
Yes. When we were given the new mandate to manage the current industrial park, 350 acres in north of Pasir Gudang. First, when we review, if we do ordinary industrial park, it's going to be one of the 600 in the country. And we are a bit worried about the viability.
So 600 industrial parks?
In Malaysia. And as you know, Pasir Gudang is one of the oldest and largest industrial estate in Malaysia. After review in early 2015, we decided that halal should be the way. And after engaged with the state, they decided that it's a good venture. And the joint venture was formed with the state government. 50% owned by the state government via J Biotech and 50% owned by UMLand.
Now, we mentioned earlier that there are already 24 halal parks. Is the space for halal parks crowded or is there still room to grow?
Yes, currently about 24, but 15 are Halmas accredited. It's equivalent to like Medini, equivalent to MSC status. You were given certain privileges in terms of tax. The actual Malaysia export USD, $12 billion, last year, but the world demand, halal demand, is 2.5 trillion. So if you divide 12 billion by 2.5 trillion USD, Malaysia only export 0.5%. That means there should be a huge potential for halal business. We think that countries like China, Taiwan, Japan, Korea realize this. That's why we see a number of, emerging manufacturers looking for halal ecosystem to produce their manufacturing products and export to Middle East, Europe and part of Asia.
Now, could you explain a little bit about that halal ecosystem? You're already advertising the park as being 100% halal business. I mean, are there parks that are halal but not 100%?
The history start when we first formalize this idea, and we have to go, we have to secure our board endorsement, UMLand board, which is chaired by our Yang Amat Berhormat Tun Musa Hitam. He says that if we want to do industrial park halal, might as well go for the best, go for the world best. So he insists halal industrial park must be global standard, and number two, must be 100% halal, because we want to protect the integrity of the halal status. That's why we are going 100% halal. It's a mandatory in our sales and purchase agreement, and issuing of license, we are working with authorities to ensure that those who practice halal manufacturing will be allowed to be issued the business license. So the previous 14 Halmas industrial park, we are not sure where they are, but we understand from HDC, we are one of the first in the country to adopt 100% stringent halal practice. That means,
I want to ask you about this, because I think with halal being a fairly new brand, right, I mean, globally, is who gives you the right to call yourself halal? Who certifies? Is there competition among certification boards? Yes. What is the gold standard? So if Tan Sri Musa Hitam is saying, we want the best that halal can provide, who is setting that standard?
The standard beginning 40 years ago when Joachim under the federal agency, under the Prime Minister Department, because Joachim was created to protect the or to endorse the practice of halal. One of them is the food industry, the certification. So under the Prime Minister Department, Joachim has done well in the last 40 years and been very, very stringent in there. So that means they are very, very careful, as near as perfect as possible in issuing the certification. Just like ISO, right? You have to be stringent. So with Joachim and the Prime Minister, and now the halal certification or accreditation has been recognized as one of the best in the world, if not the number one.
So Malaysia's own system is now setting global standards?
Yes, in terms of certification. That started 40 years ago. Then come the government under MITI created HDC, Halal Development Corporation, to ensure the practice. The practice, those who want to practice halal manufacturing are given certain incentive. This is where HDC was set to assist developers, SMEs, similar to MIDA, right? MIDA helps in terms of incentive for the hotel operators, for the SMEs manufacturers. In the niche market for halal, HDC specifically was formed to develop the business side. So we have first the Joachim for the certification, HDC, the incentive to promote halal. So then we realized that Malaysia is an Islamic country. Then Malaysia is also one of the best having Islamic financing recognized. So when we saw the statistics showing that why do we only export 12 billion with all these strong factors, we realized that there must be a missing link. Is it we doesn't have enough high-class industrial park, equivalent to hotel, maybe a 5-star industrial park, to attract foreigners to come in? Because these people will bring in FDI. Then later on will create jobs, right? So we decided this halal manufacturing of the highest standard is the best. And then we add in with the facilities, the lab, regional marketing clearinghouse. This is another Jack Ma equivalent, the regional marketing and logistic hub.
Yeah. Before we get into the details of the park, I want to come back to the second part of this. I want to just ask you about the global picture, right? And so the question is, you're saying that Malaysia's domestic halal certification is setting global standards. Do you have competition in terms of halal parks globally? And where are they cited? Who is doing this better than we are that we have to compete against?
I think a lot of countries are taking halal industrial manufacturing or creating a perfect halal park per se. I think a lot of countries are taking for granted. Then when the market realized that halal is the way to move forward, each country now is creating their own industrial park. Like China, 160 million Muslim, they are natural manufacturers, but they realize that to go on halal track is one of the best. But their ecosystem is not that strong in terms of certification. That's why the collaboration of China, Malaysia is possible. Similar to Japan, they have created 5 GHP, 5 Japan Halal Park. Again, their ecosystem, supply chains is insufficient. Example in Osaka, they want to have the certification on their, because Osaka is famous for their seafood. But without the halal certification, if they were to export to Middle East, they got disadvantage. With the halal, then the Muslim, majority Muslim population in Middle East and also in Europe would be very comfortable because of the certification.
Muslims constitute maybe the second largest faith community globally, but it is, in terms of growth, the fastest growing faith community globally. So there is the question of numbers, but also along with numbers is the question of purchasing power. A lot of Muslims live in developing countries. Their purchasing power perhaps not at its peak. So how do manufacturers, when you're kind of making your business plans, it sounds very exciting, growing population, you know, second largest faith community, who might or might not, I don't know if it's natural that you necessarily want halal, but how do you crunch the numbers in order to understand what the growth potential is?
Okay, we have statistics from the government agencies, from consultants. Example like food. Currently, statistics shows that only 17%, 1/7, of in the food so-called globally produced is halal compared to the world demand. Estimated USD 600 billion. Only 1/7 is being certified halal. Like you said, how does the so-called purchasing power correlate to the demand of halal food? As you notice, suppose example, simple example like baby food. Parent would give priority to give or to provide the best baby food for their families. But with the purchase of, with the logo of halal in that particular baby food brand, they will give priority, right? Suppose a Chinese company producing canned food, sardine, right? But you have the halal certification on that canned food product of Japan, a lot of customers will be attracted, especially the Muslim, right? Because apart from halal, it's also safety, hygienic, in the proper environment. Because for any companies to secure halal certification, it must be in a very stringent environment.
Now, I understand some researchers have pointed out that non-Muslim consumers also might be attracted to the halal brand because of this idea that halal is a kind of ethical consumerism. To what extent are those marketing the halal brand looking at non-Muslim consumers as also a natural constituency that they could reach out to them, especially by sort of extending the definition of halal beyond the kind of religious connotations to something like ethical consumerism? Yes.
That's a good question, because in general, when you have halal certification food, for example, cosmetic or pharmaceutical ingredients, it means it's safe, but it also means that it's for universal. Everybody can consume. It's safe to consume. It's certified to consume. In terms of health, like you mentioned, example, beef. Right, or example, chicken. The reason why it's practiced under halal because when you slaughter these particular animals according to the Islamic method or SOP, the way slaughtered is to draw out the blood. In fact, the blood is the most toxic in any of part of our body, right? So when you practice halal process, you're taking out the toxic from the animal. Then what is left is clean meat. So that's from the hygienic point of view. From the other point of view is that we practice, we recite the Islamic verses, right? Just that is for Islamic practice. So two portion, from scientific, from hygienic, is we withdraw, if not 100% of the blood, the method of the slaughtering. You turn around the chicken or the so-called the animal.
I'm speaking to Mr. Mohammad Noor Abdul Salam, CEO of UM Land J Biotech Park, otherwise known as Johor Halal Park, which will be the country's 25th halal park. Next up, we get more details about the park, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. If you just joined us, I'm Shahid Kutin. With me, Encik Mohammad Noor Abdul Salam, CEO of UM Land J Biopark, Biotech Park, otherwise known as Johor Halal Park, which will be the country's 25th halal park. I want to ask you this question. Location, location, location. Why Johor? What does Pasir Gudang, Johor offer that makes sense of a geographical location that's different from the other parks?
Pasir Gudang is part of Iskandar, Malaysia. or we call it the eastern part of Iskandar Malaysia. Iskandar Malaysia is about 3 times the size of Singapore. The advantage of Iskandar Malaysia is that we are next to Singapore. To do an industrial park, some of the raw material you need to be imported and then re-exported for export the products. In Johala Park, we noticed 4 main factors why investors, foreigners, are keen to come in. Number one, we are next to Singapore. The big ship, the mothership, normally from China, Japan, Korea, will land in Singapore because that's the most efficient way of shipping. And then to enter Johor might take only 1 to 1.5 hours. But if you were to be sending the goods to Klang Valley, you have to transfer to a smaller ship. That will take a few more days. Imagine coming in and going out of the country. So that's advantage number one, logistic, strategic location next to Singapore, one of the best service provider in the world. Number two, the products of the quality of buildings, infrastructure, service that we provide in Johala Park. We have the lab, we have fiber optic up to 100 megameg. We have CCTV, one of the best we adopt from the Korean technology. The one being used in the north-south so-called non-man's land between North Korea and South Korea. We're using that particular technology, CCTV. We are providing that kind of security. And another reason is the land is freehold. A lot of investors were surprised. There is a freehold in the world, which in their countries, they never had this before, right? Normally, it's only a leasing of 30 years, but here is forever.
Who's coming and at what point do you declare, you know, if, say, for instance, you are not able to get it 100%, how much are you willing to shift the concept to fit the global realities when it comes to the companies that reside within the park?
In the last 12 months, the response from mainland China is huge. And the Japanese is very meticulous. They will go a number of times, negotiation, discussing, to understand how does the system works. Once the Japanese decided to come in, they come in cluster, in groups. The Korean, they have long collaboration with University of Technology Malaysia in Johor, UTM. And they realized that after done the survey, detailed survey of all the halal park in Malaysia, they came to conclusion that Johala Park next to Singapore, in terms of logistics, is the best. The quality of products that we produce in our phase one, 100 acres, is one of the best. Because in line with our board mandate or instruction, world-class infrastructure, building, facilities, attitude, management, service provided. So we put everything above, I mean, we are going way above the normal business to ensure that Johala Park becomes one of the best in the world. That means if you were to Google Global Halal Park, we were hoping that Johala Park would come up top, the best rank, so-called halal park in the world. This is our vision. Furthermore, this is also the vision of the state government of Johor. Make Johor as the halal hub, starting with Johala Park. In this case, we assume this is going to be Johala Park number one. Because Johor has 10 districts. This is the first district in Johor Bahru. And later on, if this is a success model, we can emulate the same model in Moa, Mersing, Batubat, all over the place. And Johala Park number one is the mother because of the lab is here, the regional marketing clearinghouse is here, the center for excellence is here. And I think this is the vision of the Johor State Government.
Before I get to what the business community that might be listening to this interview might explain to them how they might plug themselves into this, what about the employment that's being generated by this? What kind of numbers are we seeing? Do you have, as many Malaysian businesses around the country have, a problem with getting workers, relying on foreign workers and such? What is the labour situation with the Johor Halal Park?
Pasir Gudang, being one of the largest, in fact, the largest industrial park in Malaysia for the past 50 years, it creates a second generation of skilled, semi-skilled labourers who are proud to be working within a manufacturing sector. If you are compared to in Nusa Jaya, it's considered a prime area. Within 20 kilometres, it's difficult to get labour skill, semi-skill. And in fact, within Pasir Gudang, there's a number of universities, Polytechnic Ibrahim Sultan, which produce 4,000 industrial trained graduates. You have UTM. Even, in fact, in Sri Alam, you have UniKL. You have UITM. So within that 20 kilometer, you have huge supply from the graduates, diploma holders, certificate holders, and skilled, semi-skilled, because the nature of Pasir Gudang population are industrial-based. So that means Pasir Gudang has the advantage against other part of Iskandar Malaysia.
You mentioned the Japanese and you mentioned the Koreans. What about local businesses? What would they have to do? Are they being invited? Are they being courted? Are you interested in them? And if they were interested in you, what would they have to do to participate in this?
Yes. Before we mention about the local market, the next or the natural market is Singapore. As we know, Singapore now, the cost of labour is very high. Their land cost is very high. And I think their government is going to be very choosy about who stays, who doesn't stay, Now, there's a number of international, multinational companies based in Singapore start looking into Johor Halal Park because we have a similar so-called in terms of security, in terms of services provided. Now, the local. The first phase of marketing we did with the local because the state has this vision of, because the state has a few blueprints to assist the women entrepreneurship, SMEs, youth, affordable housing. SMEs or industrial businesses is part of the government so-called key responsibility. So by doing niche market halal, naturally we have to engage the state government through their EDC, SME Corp, MARA. These are some of the few entities to entice the local Bumi Putra and also the non-Bumi Putra to participate. But statistics shows that from the 12 billion USD Malaysian export, 80% are Chinese-based manufacturer. 72% of the halal certification currently been awarded are given to non-Muslim. That means the government, the Malaysian government, practice open so-called concept. The other one, it means that halal business is a manufacturing base. And manufacturing base are the domination of the Chinese community because this is manufacturing. We can't deny that. But under the SME Corp, they are identifying a few Bumi Putra to champion to go global. We had an engagement with Dato' Absa, the CEO of SME Corp. When she saw our master plan, she mentioned that this is what SME Corp wanted, the ecosystem, because they have a lot of followers. But where to recommend them, where to land them, this is the one, with the incentive given, with the financing given, with the grant given. So we believe the ecosystem is going to be completed with the creation of a dedicated international halal hub in Johor Halal Park.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Welcome.
I've been speaking to Encik Mohamed Noor Abdul Salam, CEO of UM Land J Biotech Park, otherwise known as Johor Halal Park. It is a halal park in the making, I believe. I'm Sharad Kutin, and this has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.